Thank you, Jeff, for sharing that. And I don't know whether it was what you shared, Jeff, that prompted our preacher to leave. But just to let you know that Luke has been part of the team, but his dad lives here in Lakes with a family, his stepmum and his stepbrothers and sisters. And his dad has cancer. And Luke has been able to take time this week, a little bit of time, to be seeing his dad and going to treatment with his dad. Luke and his wife and their children would love to be able to be here and house sit so they could share Jesus with his dad and the family. Kind of the mission up close is what is very much on Luke's heart. So much so that he has said, I've got to go now and see my dad. Now, pray for Luke as he goes and spend time with his dad right now. And Oliver is going to preach. So you better coordinate the Bible reading and whatever you're going to preach on. Thanks, Oliver.
Michael, my dear brother, can you come and stand here and read Ecclesiastes chapter 1? I've got the Bible here, from 1 to 11, and it's in the ESV, Kira.
1 to 11? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south, and it blows around to the and it goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuit the wind returns. All the streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after. And may God open his word to our hearts.
God has your attention right now. He has mine. He is present. Every week he is present here with you. In vain you have been gathering, brothers and sisters. In vain I have gathered. Jeff, where are you? Yes. I feel a bit apologetic for my quick tongue. It was what was going on within me as you were apologizing for being touched. You love, and you are touched through the people that you've loved and the cost and the loss there. And dear brother, that's important to share. It's not something to apologize. I believe my heart was, I'll speak for myself, I was in a place I wanted to hear more, and I thank you for that. Yeah, may you continue to share. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly and flow out of you. You may do the work. I'd like us to stand together and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Luke and his dad. I don't know what the Lord is doing there. These are unusual things that are happening. Works with his dad every single day, and we're going to pray shortly for the salvation of that man. I'll tell you a bit more of what's happening in his life. That man, I know far back, as my brother Luke has shared with me, he's been in the church, he's come out of it, has gone through divorce, has remarried. And as far as Luke can discern, although he is not God, he's not walking with the Lord. And Luke works with his dad. So his dad, David, would travel from Lakes all the way into Melbourne and work all around the city and then stay in the whole week and then come back to his three children and his wife back here. And Luke has been working for years with his dad in steel rigging. They both work in construction. They're both very hard-working men. The imprint of the father, that's David, is upon his son, Luke. Luke is a very hard-working man, and through Christ he's cast down that idol and has overcome many things, which is enabling him to walk in the way that he is. Glory to God. This time that Luke has been here has been unique, and I saw it lining up, and I thought, we're going to do an IDT here in Lakes. And I knew Luke's dad was here in Lakes, and my desire was for their connection and there to be a work through this time. And so I had it on my heart to ask Luke to come on IDT. It's normally people who are young adults, we would call them. Luke is a father of four children like me. It doesn't fit the bill. And before I got to ask him, he said to me, I want to come on IDT. And the Spirit had also been prompting him. And during this time, I believe he's probably, although we haven't, there's been a lot happening this week. He's barely had the opportunity to share with us as a team how that journey has been going. He's been coming for sessions in the evening, going out, being with his dad, coming back. You know, he's processing all that. And his dad, sorry, this is very important, has cancer. And I want to tell you how my brother walks in love. He loves his dad deeply. He began to pray for his dad for salvation to come. And the Lord continued to press him in prayer. What are you praying for? What do you want, my son? Do not let your prayer be in vain. What do you want? And the cry of his heart was for the salvation of his dad. So the Lord took Luke on a journey in prayer, and he began to pray and said, Lord, whatever it takes for my dad to be saved. And the picture that he gave Luke was this: if my dad ends up on the streets with no home around him, no possessions, nothing, and he comes to salvation, that is what I want. And he was praying like that. About mid last year, he received the news that his dad had cancer. This will sound strange to your ears, but he received that as an answer to prayer. The Lord broke that man, humbled him, and he's continuing to do that. But he has a hard heart, as so do you and I at points. God help us. And so during this time, Luke's been able to interact. And we had, as I said, a significant time as a team yesterday where I believe, and this may sound strange to your ears, but we were filled with the Spirit. I have never seen or experienced the things that I have seen to the depth that I had. We each of us have people praying for us, and I was writing back to people back home who are praying for us while we're here. The Lord has done exceedingly far above and beyond all that I could think or imagine, and more. And so this morning I woke, and I had lots on my mind, things to pray, reading the scripture. I was led to this passage we'll shortly be looking at in Ecclesiastes. And I thought, I need to go and ask Luke's dad. I've been to a birthday party once where he was there, but I couldn't remember him. So he didn't know me from a bar of soap. So I told Luke, I said to him this morning, set your alarm for 9:40. And then when that alarm goes off, come to me and I'm going to ask you a question. He said, okay, he did that. We went about, we've all been preparing, doing various things. And we gathered in that room with our dear brother Jeff. Praise the Lord for this faithful brother in our midst. I encourage you to go and pray with him before you gather on a Sunday, that your meeting may not be in vain. We gathered there to pray. And we were praying, and I sensed in my spirit, and this is new and unusual for me, I'm learning this. It's strange. Strange in the sense of foreign. I sensed that Luke was going to pray. He began to pray. I couldn't focus on what he was praying, and I knew the time was close. He finished praying, and his pocket buzzed. He turned it off, and I looked straight at him. And then suddenly he remembered, you know, you have many alarms going on in your life. He remembered my words. He looked at me. We both stood up and walked out, and I walked over to him, and I said, text me your father's address. And then I left him. I came here to Michael, because it's important. I am here. I'm not a part regularly of this house. I do not know you like your shepherd knows you, your shepherds. So I need to work together. I came to Michael and I said, I believe the Lord is wanting me to go to David's house to ask him to come. I've never done anything like that in my life. Levi overheard me and he said, wow, that's intense. I drove off in the car and I felt the intensity. I was breathing heavily. There was tears. It was just this conflict of how I've been living in fear. I put my hand up, Jeff. I put my hand up. God is cutting into me. And I drove all the way. I got onto the street. And I didn't even see the number. I knew his house, because I've been talking with my brother. He had a huge caravan at the front. I said, I knew, that's him. That is the mark of Luke's dad that he has described to me. I walked closely with my brother. See how I can know someone else's father without even meeting him, because of how intimately I walk with my brother. Heart pounding. Got out of the car. Knocked on the door. No answer. Do I go? No, I stay. I knock again, harder. There's a dog. It barks a bit. The door opens. There's a man, bald, opens. He said, hello. My name is Oliver. I'm a friend of Luke's. I've been at the church here at Lake's Entrance. And I know your son wants you to come and listen to him preach today. Would you come with me? He hasn't prompted me to do this. This has come, I believe, from God. Would you come with me down? He said, no, thanks. Thank you very much. He said, I want you to know he didn't send me. It was not Luke that sent me. But I believe it was from God. Well, I said it was my own volition. You know, I wanted to be clear that it wasn't Luke driving me. He assisted me in giving the address, but nothing more. And I left and came in. He knew. I sat down next to him and he shook his head. He had to process. And the Spirit is at work, and then through your word, Jeff, he was convicted. And a godly man will be convicted by the Lord. And he will leave preaching to do the will of the Lord. A godly man will stand up and preach at the drop of a hat to do the will of the Lord for his brother, to do the will of the Lord for others. Let us turn in prayer to what the Lord has in store. I still do not know what I'm going to preach. God knows. Father, you have our attention. It is clear you are doing something that we did not even conceive of. And I thank you for my dear brother Michael. It is clear to all who know him that his heart is for people, and that is why he could say yes to this. We are all being stretched and grown. I don't know if he's ever conducted a service where the preacher has walked out like that. I never have, although I have journeyed far less than him. That was radical. That was faith. That was belief that it is right to go fishing, to prioritize your will before our program. So, Lord, we uplift our dear brother Luke. I don't know how to pray. Can someone please pray? Just strongly so that we can hear you.
pray for his father, Lord, that you would reach into his heart.
Amen. Amen.
That you would fill him with your love, Lord. That you would allow him to know that you sent your son to die for him. And that you are able to take care of all situations, Lord. Especially the situation concerning his life. Now, Lord, we don't know if he's going to go or if he's going to stay. For you are the giver of life. You know this. So we pray for him. We pray for Luke, Lord. As he's there with his father. Allow us the wisdom, the words, and the love to share with him. To reveal your love and your plans for him. And I pray now, Lord, as he brings the word. Lord, you are the giver. The words come from you.
Amen.
So fill him, Lord, with what you would have to say to us today. And speak to us, Lord, by your grace and your mercy and your love. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, the Creator of all things, who died and gave himself for us. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to be honest and frank with you. Brothers and sisters, you have sat for too long in vain. You have listened to preaching in vain. There is a need for repentance in this house today. The Lord is bringing you to that place. Do not think about someone else. Bring your own life before the Lord. Whenever a brother stands up here to preach the word, do not listen in vain, no matter how boring you may feel they are, no matter how much you might struggle with things in their life. Sorry, excuse me, could someone get a glass of water for me? I can feel I'll need it. Thank you, Andrew. Here's one I prepared early, he says. In vain you have sat in this house and wasted much. I have also done so. Do not think I come to point the finger. I have sat in vain many times. I spoke to you about doing things in vain, and I had to catch myself after I said that word to you, singing in vain myself. The messenger. Praise be to the grace of God under whose blood I take refuge. You also can do likewise in all your vanity. Whatever that looks like in your life, it will be different for every single one of you. There will be similarities, but there will also be differences. You are a unique individual. You might not feel that God knows you. You might feel that God sees you, but He does. Every part of your being is not hidden from Him. All your vanity is seen clearly before Him. And you are in dire need of the Holy Spirit to know your vanity like your Father in heaven knows it, who has caused you to be born again. Get in touch with your need. Do not deny it. Do not cover it. Do not press in a little bit and say that's sufficient. Christ alone will do for his people. Too long, brothers and sisters, have you delighted in the idols of your life? Have you gone after your girlfriends, your boyfriends, your caravans? This is a hard word. May the Lord have mercy on you and give you cancer. That you might come to salvation and repentance and through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit be healed from that cancer, that you can glorify the name of your Lord, and may you heal David of his cancer, Lord. That you would use that to reveal your glory. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Get in touch with your labor. What are you laboring towards? What is important? What is valuable to you? What do you seek after? What do you desire? For that you labor. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we value is informed by what we believe. It is formed by what we believe. You value things differently to the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, in front of you. There is no one who has the exact same value system alike sitting in this room or anywhere on the planet. You will not find that map in any other life. It is completely unique to you. But it is dynamic and not static. That means it changes. It doesn't stay still. God created us to grow and change, just like a plant. We are like a seed, it grows, it changes, limbs can fall off, fruit, flower. You can train it. And this is important for you parents, and you who are also in the midst where there are children. As our dear brother John Jay was saying, children are very precious. They are tender in the sight of the Lord. The scriptures say, train a child in the way he should go and he will not turn from it. What the Lord has helped me to understand that means is it's a picture. You can have two pictures of training. One is the picture of a plant. The other is a picture of an athlete. The picture of an athlete is like a coach coming on alongside. If you're a parent and you may not have children, you may never have children. But you will have children in your life. You may be an aunt, you may be an uncle. If you're part of this church, there are children in this church. And to the degree that you're in their life, you need to parent them in love. And again, in contact with that parent, you do not step in front of that parent's authority. God has given that parent to be an authority over that children. That is his design. But as you are able, I've parented Luke's children. He has parented mine. I'm grateful when my brothers and sisters in my church family shepherd my children. I need that. It takes a village to raise a child. But it takes a church to raise a child after the heart of the Lord. Church, stand up and raise your children. Do not gather here in vain with your children. They are precious in the sight of the Lord. Do not squander their precious lives. There's the picture of training like a coach coming alongside, explaining and unpacking, observing how the athlete is performing and giving detail. There's that type of training in that imagery. I believe that the other training has been more powerful for me at least. It's the picture of a seed planted. I thought when I started having children, are these children like a blank page? No, they are not. There is something already written on them. There is something already happened. David said, I was conceived in sin. Through Adam, because of that sin when he took the fruit, every child that is born of man is conceived in sin. That is why Jesus Christ had to come born of a virgin. That he was not in the line of Adam, but he was directly from the line of the Heavenly Father. Born of a virgin, of a woman, in the flesh, but by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you from on high. So they're not blank pages. They're actually like seeds, like a tree. A seed is planted and it grows. It starts to have a life of its own. It does things. You know this as a parent. Oh, I wasn't expecting that branch to grow up that way. I wasn't expecting this branch. Wow, look at that branch. You can appreciate it. And there is a training that goes on. As a parent, your responsibility is this before the Lord, to train that plant in the fear and instruction and wisdom of the Lord. Some of you parents may be feeling your failure. I have felt mine. You may feel it is too late. It is never too late. Right now, there is a battle going on for a soul. I came away feeling it was too late. Is there hope? We continue to hope always until the Lord calls home. If you have a child today who you feel you have wasted your parenting on, or you have not walked in the way that the Lord has, that your parenting has been in vain and you did not fear the Lord enough to come under His instruction in repentance, because every parent needs that training of repentance. Unless we are diligent in the Word, and by the grace of God, we see revelation from a young age. I did not. As a parent, I grew in that. We are growing. And it's okay. The Lord embraces our growth and He uses it. That is a glorious thing and profound. But if you feel you have a child whom you have raised in vain and they are still living, brother and sister, the word to you today is, it is not over. Follow the example of your brother Luke, who is becoming like a father spiritually to his own dad. Go after your children. You need to go and repent. Get on your knees. Take time by yourself. Bring yourself before the Lord. And come in contrition to your child. That means vulnerability. Acknowledging your shortcomings and your failures. And walking in love. We all have failures. We all have failures. God's grace is far bigger than any failure you have ever had in your life. Mark my words. Seal it with the blood of Christ, with the glorious resurrection out of the grave. What can overcome death but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel your hope is dead for your son or your daughter? Bring yourself to the Lord. Cry out to Him and say, I haven't got the faith. I desire it though. Help me, Lord. Help me. I need your help. If you were a dad, what would you do if your son was saying that to you? I'm not going to answer that question. You know the answer. So we train our children. We see a branch growing, and we put a stake out because we say, Lord, your word says, as far as you've revealed it to me, and you need to operate according to your conviction and understanding of the word, come alongside brothers and sisters to refine it. Sit under preaching, but do not sit under preaching in vain. All of those things will help you to refine your understanding of the word. Be in the word personally. We lack this greatly in the church today. A personal devotion to the word of the Lord. I believe it lacks here today in this church, not because I know any of your lives or have seen anything, but because I know my own flock. I know my own life. There is an important to be diligent and disciplined. I'm so thankful for our dear brother Jared and Linda. I'm sure many of you are as well. We were sitting opposite the cafeteria, the kitchen, and Jared was teaching us, and Linda, unpacking from their journey. Lord, we just thank you in your name for that child. We thank you for Nathan and Jess. I know what it is to take a screaming child out of church. And we just thank you that child is here and is screaming. And we ask that you would equip Nathan to train her in the way that she should go. And that we would likewise have that heart and be fully available and expectant that you will use us, walking by that in faith for that precious child. So there's a training. So there needs to be staked out. Yes, I understand your word is here and the branch is staked out and tied to it. That training is difficult as a parent. That is an undisciplined plant there that you are working with. It will come kicking and screaming. And you know that. You know the sound of that child. You may not have had children, but you've heard it. It will come kicking and screaming. Our dear brother Jeff is a precious example in that. He has faithfully prayed. When you are walking to discipline your child as we are instructed by the Lord, you need to be faithful in that. Do not give up. It will be hard. You won't enjoy it. It will be unpleasant. You'll feel your heart will hurt and grieve. Stay at it. Keep your hand to the plow. Do not look back. You're not fit for service in the kingdom if you turn back. Stay at it. The plant continues to grow. And a beautiful, beautiful branch starts to form. And you get this first picture of fruits. It's precious. Some of you have planted plants, planted fruit trees, and you've seen the first fruits. The scriptures under the Old Testament talk about the first fruits. It's just this delight, the pleasure of having tended, of cut out the ground, of doing the work, digging, cultivating, training, and then the first fruits come. Oh, what a delight it is to a father, to a mother. It's precious. And as the first fruits come, give glory to your Father. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Rejoice in the work of the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. And pay attention to that branch. It is good. They might be kind to their brother. They might choose to share with their sister. They might choose to deny themselves something so that you can have it. Pay attention to that good branch and prune it. Prune it so that it will be even more fruitful. Ask the Lord for wisdom and insight into how to go about pruning, where to put your secateurs. Come to the Word. This will train and equip you. You need to be hungry for this in order to walk in this fashion. If you are not hungry for this, your hunger for the Word and your being in it will correlate with the accuracy of your pruning. That's not Luke. I know his car. I look forward to when he comes back. Bearing good or bad news. We do not know, but we wait patiently, desiring the good and trusting to the Lord and praying, being watchful. Why are we talking about children so much? Because there is an opportunity there that is once in a lifetime. We've all had it. We've all had parents. Your parents may have failed you, may have been hurt by that. I was talking last week. This week. It's been a full week, Michael. It's been a lot going on. We went for Blokes on Bikes. Lionel shared his testimony. Talked about key relationships in his life, and I asked some people afterwards, who are the key relationships in your life? There was a man there who answered that question. He was over 70 years old, and he said to me, my mother. My mother. Over 70 years old. His mother had long gone. I forget if she had died in the faith or not. Therefore, she has fallen asleep if it's in faith. But the mother had such an impact on this brother. And if you're 70 or older, your own parents may have had that impact in your life. For better, for worse, they may have failed you in their training. They may have cut off fruitful branches. They may have allowed the branches of thorns to grow in your life. Maybe they were ignorant. Maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they were hard-hearted. Maybe they were bitter. Maybe they had their own problems. They were distracted. None of these justify that. But through Christ, you can extend grace to your parents to forgive them any sin that you feel is committed against you.
And not only that, this is an important word that we severely neglect. Again, how often we pray in vain. Listen to this and listen for forgiveness. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There in the Lord's Prayer, probably the most prayed prayer to God, is this truth that the church has thoroughly, in my observation, neglected in its teaching. And it is this: forgive us our debts, we pray, as we also have forgiven our debtors. What is the implication of that? It is this, and this is a hard teaching that is rare to find in the church of the Lord. If you do not forgive someone who is in debt to you, even though you have received the forgiveness of the Lord, you will not go to heaven while that unforgiveness is in your heart, brother or sister. For he goes on, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let us submit under the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. We do it in one area, but we're picking and choosing. Are you picking and choosing today? This is crucial. He continues, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is a fearful word. That fear has driven me. Let me tell you a story. The hardest thing I ever had to forgive was my brother in the flesh, also in the spirit. I thank God in the spirit. He did something. This is not my brother Harley. That's important to say. There was a bit of tenseness over the back there. Yeah, sorry. So, some of you may not know, Jared and Linda, their daughter, had the privilege and has the privilege of being married to my brother. And that has been a blessing for both of our families. Glory to God. I trust you, Jared and Linda, with what I'm about to share. And I believe the Spirit wants me to share this more deeply than I ever have, because he's doing something here. And I want to be attentive to him. My brother had a girlfriend. Pay attention to that, those of you, again, do not be here in vain. There are some today, perhaps, who have a girlfriend or boyfriend or desire a girlfriend or boyfriend. Pay attention to these things that our dear brother Levi has shared, and it's coming up again. If your parents have betrayed you, forgive them in the name of Jesus. If they are no longer living, forgive them in the name of Jesus. To the extent that you are able, you may need to visit their gravesite. You may need to write a letter and send it to someone who you feel you trust, maybe a family member. You may need to confess to someone who you are walking with. Forgive them in the name of Christ for your sake. Coming further back, this is amazing. I've never experienced preaching like this before. And I see how the Lord is opening things and then drawing me back. So I'm coming back again to the picture of the seed and that child. I believe we're getting closer to the finish of the sermon, of the message of the Lord for us today, that, Lord willing, we have not listened to in vain. That seed, it is a precious opportunity, once in a lifetime. to have a child. Because if you know about plants, when they are young, they are tender and flexible. You can grab a fruit tree. I'm no person of an orchard or that sort of a thing, but you can grab it and you can bend that branch back on itself like this, can't you? You can bend that tree in all sorts of weird and wonderful ways. In love. Bend it in love. That's very important. The scriptures declare. Fathers, going to need to look it up. It's in Ephesians. Thank you, brother. It is very important to know the word, to have it, to seek it out. If you don't know it, look for it, find it. Fathers, there's no instruction given to mothers at that point, you will observe, but fathers, I believe this is a particular weakness for us as men. I've experienced it. Do not exasperate your children. Discipline, instruct them in love. Discipline is a part of that training and raising. Prune the fruitful part of the tree. That picture, you can bend it around like this. You get that tree even 10 years later. You're not going to be able to bend it like that. You'll break it. You're going to have to bend it a bit more like this. You look out when you go out. You imagine bending some of the branches of the trees around. They become established, set in their ways. Even the world knows this. They say this proverb, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. They become established and set in their ways. The trunk is thick and heavy. The bark, it's strong, it's rough. Further down the trunk, yes, there's these lighter places of the branch. Those of you who are elderly or have come of age are like that. I am becoming like that. It is important. There's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with every life to train. It is harder to train when you're older. And if you feel like an old, crusty tree, the word I believe the Lord to you is this: He is not finished. He is not finished. We do not have some second-rate gardener tending his orchard, his vines. We have an unimaginable gardener tending the orchard and the vines that he has established and planted. He watches over you, brothers and sisters, for your good. He sees your vanity. He sees it. And he is seeking to speak to you by his Spirit. Even before today, he will have been doing this, because it is his heart for you. He will have spoken to you about this before, about your vanity, that you might remove it from your life. Perhaps sometimes you've listened, sometimes you've not, hardened or softened. Again, it's just coming up. You just uplift David. You would soften his heart as his son in the flesh is with him, Luke. Lord, we pray in your name that he would be a brother in the Spirit. God is not done with you. How is he going to do it? You're an old tree. You might have run many miles, had many breakfasts. Your knees have bent up and down so many more times than mine. Your beard is far grayer than mine. Your receding hairline is far further back than mine. I am on that journey. We all are. It evades none. None evade it, sorry. There is hope in Christ and Christ alone. This is how the gardener works. He does not bend the branches. Gets out the chainsaw. Check this out. I love chainsaws. And he cuts that branch off. What does he do then? He grafts in something that is from his Son, Jesus Christ. You will not receive that cut unless you're willing. If you see a branch in your life that even was established and trained into you in error from a young age, and today you desire a cutting of that limb, go to your gardener. Go to the vine dresser. If you give it to him, he will cut it off for you and he will give you something far greater, far more fruitful, and it will be tender. You'll need to be in the Word to know how to train it, how to cause it to grow, how to prune it so it's fruitful. This is the end of the message, brothers and sisters. Do not listen to the Word of God in vain.